I did contact Reverend Donald asking what songs he wanted, and he said, I trust whatever you pick, so.
Hi, I'm Mary Ann, and I was asked as I walked in this morning to introduce Reverend Donald Graves, author, as well as other things. For those of you who know him, welcome back. He's back. We're very happy about that. For those of you who don't know him, he was pastor, leader here for 10 years, 11, and took a well-deserved time away to do other things. And we're just real happy he's back. And he'll be here for talking afterwards and showing off new stuff. He has new stuff to promote and show and share with us. So welcome back.
So Mary Ann asked me if there's anything I would like her to say. And I said, nah, you know me, good enough. And you might want to also mention that I survived living in Utah twice. And that's no minor feat, I'm telling you. Because they have points of view, for sure. So I one of my favorite stories is about this family went into a restaurant. And the server happened to notice the Smiths with their little four-year-old son, who was incredibly bright. And so she walked over to the table, and she said, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and hi, Jonathan. What can I get you for lunch? He says, I'll have a grilled cheese sandwich. And she said, well, Jonathan, we don't make grilled cheese sandwiches here. And is there anything else you would like? He says, well, no, I'll have a grilled cheese sandwich. And she said, Jonathan, I just explained, we don't make grilled cheese sandwiches here. And he says, well, you have bread, don't you? Well, yes. You have a grill, don't you? Well, yes. And you have cheese, right? Well, yes, we did. And he said, well, good, I'll have a grilled cheese sandwich. And seeing where this might go, the server decided, I'll go talk to the chef and see if he'll make you a grilled cheese sandwich. So she leaves for a little bit and comes back. Says, well, the chef has agreed to make you a grilled cheese sandwich, Jonathan, but I forgot to ask you what you would like to drink. He says, I'll have a chocolate milkshake. He says, now, Jonathan, your parents have probably already told you we don't serve chocolate milkshakes. Now, I know, we have milk and we have ice cream, but we don't have the chocolate syrup. Jonathan was ready. He says, you have a car, don't you? See, life lives itself affirmatively through us. And this month, as we've been going through the cycle of the basics for the teachings of the science of mind, which covers the principles and the practices, so we've been, and it so it begins, and so it begins again and again and again. It continues to begin. It's like creation. There was no one specific creation. It's an ongoing, continual process. And today, Outing Your Inner Mystic, Outing Your Inner Mystic is the title of this book that finally, after 30 years, I decided to publish. And published it on an e-version in one day, and 2 days later went back and did the paperback version. So, ta-da! It's easy, Keith. If there's any question, read the quote this morning. Dr. Holmes said, and do so easily. It's easy. I want you to stop worrying about it. So mysticism is a part of our very nature. And that is something that most people don't realize is that you have an inner mystic. Already, always have, always shall have an inner mystic. The difference is whether or not you access that inner mystic, meaning find that it actually does exist there because it awaits recognition, And two, if you let out that inner mystic. So really today is about outing that inner mystic. That's what the book is about, is outing the inner mystic. And I take the idea, the practice of spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, and put it in common vernacular without all the jargon. You don't have the circle with the V in it and have to memorize the top third, the middle third, and the bottom third. And people, it is simple. Praying is simple. It's a normal, affirmative process. You're doing it right now. You did it when you got up this morning. You're doing it right now. You'll continue to do it after you leave here. The difference about, and what really outing your inner mystic is all about, is acknowledging that the mystic exists within you. It's available to you always. So finding that, and we access it through meditation, and we access it through visioning. We find it therein. And then outing that inner mystic is really about using affirmations and spiritual mind treatment, which is normal. Holmes says that life happens affirmatively. We live our lives affirmatively, and we can be absolutely affirming the fact that we can't do it. But it lives itself affirmatively. So we use the divine power and intelligence when we live our lives. So every time we live our lives, we're using that power and intelligence. We prove that the power and intelligence exists by living consciously. And so the whole name of the game here in this philosophy, in this center, is about living consciously. Now, I had a born-again Christian guy who was a little narrow-minded. Not that we can't be, but he certainly was. And he told me that I was leading people to Satan. And I said, do you know anything about the science of mind? He says, oh, yeah, I do. I know all about it. I said, really? He says, yeah, it's an easy pathway. Said, really? You know, I have never found being conscious to be easy. Being conscious is not easy. Life becomes easier when I stay conscious, no question about it. But to stay conscious, not to fall back into the old habits and default thinking patterns of my past and blame everybody else and be a victim again and again and again, and even repeat that a dozen or 15 times, it's hard not to do that. But it's doable. And the more we do it, the easier it becomes. So doing affirmative prayer becomes easier as we do it. The first principle, all one. And we teach the principles and practices. The principles, the first principle is all one. One life, only one life, that's it. If there is but one life, then you, me, everything is part of that life. But do you know that all the time? It sure looks like other, doesn't it? Sure looks like he said, she did that, and they are doing, et cetera, et cetera. And we forget that we are the government. We think he is, or they are. We're it. Now, the thing that really sucks about it, all one, and we're responsible for every drop of it. So I had this bike crash that David alluded to back in February of 2009, 100 million years ago at this point, face plant in the middle of the street, over the handlebars, my mountain bike. Messed me up. But I learned something great in that exercise. A traumatic brain injury affects our ability to think. When we cannot think, we resort to old programming. It's difficult as the Dickens to think our ways out of the old programming that we had already thought our ways into. And when we get back in charge of that, which can take time with a traumatic brain injury, then all of a sudden you can have the life you want again. Until then, you'll be living the life you had over and over and over, again and again. And repeat that. So, all one. We live in this one life. Our minds interpret this life as to be this or that. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So the first principle is all one, but we are the ones who filter in that one our perceptions of it. And we come in unconsciously conscious. We move into unconscious unconsciousness, then become conscious of our unconsciousness, and then we become consciously conscious. Now, this is a model that Krishnamurti came up with a long time ago, but I love it. We come in naturally, organically conscious, awake, aware, naturally, organically awake and aware. And then we forget. And we start living unconsciously because that's how we survive in life, is to go along with what patterns we come into. That's called race consciousness or race mind or collective consciousness. And then we become aware of that unconsciousness when we start waking up, and then the trick is to stay awake. That's what the process here is with the science of mind. Ernest Holmes, as a matter of fact, we only know as much as we can prove by actual demonstration. So here's the key. We have to actually do something, people. We actually have to do these practices in order to change our lives in such a way that we want the life that we say we want. It's not just a say we want. It's not just a want. It's a have. It's a do. It's a natural way of living. Also in the science of mind, it works for us by flowing through us. So our minds interpret that information. We experience the world and we interpret the world. See, the same experience is not had by anybody, and the interpretations only can approximate another person's interpretation. It's just like that. You're interpreting what I'm saying up here. You're interpreting what this philosophy is about, what this center is about, what community is about, whether it's intimate or not intimate or whatever. Hence it follows that if we believe that it will not work, it really works by appearing not to work. I love that. And when we believe that it cannot and will not, then according to the principle, it does not. But when it does not, it still does, only it does according to our belief that it will not. So we live affirmatively. We affirm, I can't. And subsequently, I can't becomes our experience. You guys get the picture. I mean, you hear something like this every single week, every single class, every single workshop. It's what this philosophy is about reminding us of. Oh, and we don't tell you anything you don't already know. This is a simple reminder. You know you're in charge of your life. It just feels like it sometimes that it's not. But that's because you bought into some notion that you're not in charge of your life in some area of life and subsequently continue to believe in that. So that's why I call it a bike crash. It was not an accident. It was a crash. Big difference. Give up the term accident and start seeing how you somehow or another set that up. I still don't know how I set up that bike crash, but I'm still looking because I know there's an answer there. So what is a mystic? Okay, Donna, you ready? Got your note paper out? Okay, I'm going to quote Holmes, and then I'm going to talk about that a little bit. A mystic is one who has deep inner sense of life and of his union with that life. I'm not knowing why these are going off the screen, but it's his union, deep union with that life. Oop, wrong way. There we go. A mystic is one who has a deep inner sense of life and his union with the whole. He is one who intuitively perceives truth and without any mental process arrives at spiritual realization. Without any mental process. So he's already arrived, he or she has already arrived at that state of being labeled a mystic. I have never heard of a single mystic who claims themselves to be a mystic. It's a label others put on them. And that common factor we find about mystics is they all have, in their inquiry, in their inner travels, discovered all one. All one. And the job, if you will, of a mystic is to see and experience that everywhere, every when. To live it out again and again and again, and experiencing one, all one. Look out there and say, oh, all one. I am one of that. I am one of that. One of that expresses as that person by that particular name and this person by this particular name, all one. Inescapable, all one. The question is, how do you choose to interpret that one? Is it beneficent? Is it loving? Is it filled with possibility? Is it life abundant? Is it filled with joy? Or not? How do you choose to interpret what you experience as part of that one? So there's a process for us to get to that. The first is to access the inner mystic. That's the meditation and the visioning. And the second step of that process is to out that inner mystic, is to call it out. And I believe living our lives is how we do that, and how we design that life consciously is through affirmative praying. Affirmative praying because there's a simple step that we can take, and then the next step, and the next step, and the next step. There's kind of a beautiful checklist of recognizing the all one exists. If it's all one, I live as part of that one. I declare I'll have a cheese sandwich. And I want that cheese sandwich, that grilled cheese sandwich. And if the universe needs to go and get in their car and go buy chocolate syrup for my chocolate shape, then that, so be it. It's done. The universe takes care of that. But are you willing to let that life in? Are you willing to let in your grilled cheese sandwich? Are you willing to let in your chocolate milkshake? I think a chocolate milkshake is a horrible waste of good dark chocolate. Just give me the chocolate. A grilled cheese sandwich, it ain't going to be American cheese. It'll have a little Gruyere, a little Gouda, a little sharp cheddar, and just for stringiness, a little bit of mozzarella. That's a good grilled cheese sandwich. It has to be done in butter, none of this margarine or olive oil nonsense, butter. And that'll be a good grilled cheese sandwich. So by outing your inner mystic, you can use the affirmations to remind you on a moment-by-moment-by-moment basis, and then regularly do your spiritual mind treatment, which includes the recognition of the one, that you exist as part of that one, all life already exists for you, and so you decide, I'm going to let that in. The blessing awaits its recognition. So since life works by direct affirmation, that's how you do it. You affirm life exists as only one, and I live in that. It works through us. We can't not use it, and we use it the way it already works, affirmatively, positively. Life already works this way, so we're using it that way. This consciously thing. Are you aware of who's sitting two seats from you? Without looking. You'll have to think maybe for a moment. Do you remember where you parked? Do you remember what your third bite tasted like this morning if you had breakfast? Most of us don't use our awareness to be aware of those little trivialities, unless not knowing where your car parked isn't a triviality, I guess. So we typically don't pay much attention to the world around us. If we want to be more conscious, we start paying a little more attention to another 6 inches around us, all the way around, and then another foot all the way around, and then another, and then another. By getting that perspective, we can see things that really help make our life easy. So if you look at your bulletin, look at the quotation this morning. The last sentence. Running through it all is the silent power and spiritual wisdom and love, harmoniously and happily governing my thoughts, decisions, and acceptances, so that everything I do is done with ease. Everything I do is done with ease. Reduce the stress in your life and you have a lot more creative potential. You have a lot more joy, a lot more smiles happen around you. You lift those around you because you more naturally express who you are. That's what outing our inner mystic is about. It's about letting that genuine truth of who I am out as me. I love this. Morris said, edit your life frequently and ruthlessly. It's your masterpiece, after all. So I want you to think about this. The fact that your inner mystic that already exists there, it wants out. Think of how liberated you will feel. I mean, do you find yourself spending more time in anxiety or more time in ease? Do you find yourself constantly feeling like you're being judged, or do you find yourself constantly judging others? You spend a lot of time evaluating what's going on, and why, instead of observing and experiencing what's really going on and letting the causes behind that come to you. See, there's a whole different way of living. From a hypervigilant state on one extreme to an ease and flow state on the other. Where do you find yourself spending most of the time? If you have forgotten or didn't really realize that you have this inner mystic, this awareness of all one inside you, then start meditating. You have a lot of resources available around you here in this community to assist in that exercise, in that process, and to develop it as a spiritual practice. Within a month, your life will have changed, usually within a week. But certainly within a month, if you meditate twice a day, your life will have changed after those 30 days. That's accessing your inner mystic. And with the visioning, you access a little more precisely what does that life called by your name show up as next? What's its next natural step? Next natural place to go, whatever that is. What is that for you? And then calling out that inner mystic is about doing your affirmations and doing your affirmative prayer. My book teaches you how to do spiritual mind treatment. It teaches you how to do affirmative prayer. And it's got some funny quotes in it too. So, rather than talk about meditating, meditate. Rather than talking about doing spiritual mind treatment, why don't we step into that state of awareness, that state of consciousness that we access as in the All One, and let's do a spiritual mind treatment, a healing treatment for this community right here, right now. So allow your eyes to close. And step into that state of letting. Begin by letting your feet rest on the floor. Letting the body sit in the chair. Letting the mind do whatever it does. It matters not what it puts its attention on. Just let it, and then let it, and then let it, and then let it, and then let it go. And notice the ease, that soft place at the bottom and the top of every breath. And as I speak in first person, these words of affirmative prayer, know with me and interpret with me the truth therein for you. So I now let an awareness of the power, the presence, the intelligence that, called by many different names, I know exists everywhere at all time. It exists right there within me. It exists around me. It exists as me. And for my purposes, I call it God. I know that it already exists, and since all one life, it lives in me and as me. So every experience I have proves that awareness, that consciousness of God. Every thought I have proves the thinking or intelligence of God. And everything I do proves the power, the animation of that same God, that same life. So that power, that intelligence, I know as beauty right now, as joy, as ease, as perfect health, as wholeness itself. I let every cell become aware of that natural beat of the heart, the power of God moving the blood through all the circulatory system. That ease I notice in my mind. Just simple, easy peace. And as I extend awareness out beyond the skin, I become aware of the people around me. And I know for them that very same sense of ease, that very same sense of wholeness. So harmony reigns. Abundant good and joy fill all of life. Notions of lack and limitation dissolve, even as the darkness dissolves by switching on the light bulb. That light of awareness now prevails. So noticing these things about the infinite within me and as me, I fill with joy. I notice the truth bumps running up my spine, which tells me I know this as so already, and feel the gratitude that which comes naturally. So since it's already done, already so, and since I have chosen to let it in, I know I'll let these words go now. And as I do, it even grows bigger for me. So letting the words go, letting limitation aspects go, embracing full, energetic, abundant life, I genuinely let that be. So together, we affirm it by saying, and so it is.
Bless you.